It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
And a drive to right. Go!
From coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Friday, just about high noon, which means it's time to beat up your neighbor for a big prize pack, which, as advertised, includes a two four-packs. That's how I need to say it. 2 4-packs of tickets for this weekend series against Kansas City. 4-pack Saturday, 4-pack Sunday. All you got to do is dial me up and beat up your neighbor on the air with me in the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. I did have a couple callers as I was teasing going into break. By the time I smashed the button to fire off the break, I went over to the lines and they were empty. So if that was you, dial me up. I'm looking for callers right now. 605-362-3776. You want to play for a big prize pack, which includes some Minnesota Twins tickets. Dial me up at 605-362-3776. Of course, our prize pack includes a gift certificate to help you elevate your grill game at the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats and more right here with ESPN Sioux Falls. Again, caller one against caller two. I'm waiting on you. 605-362-3776. While we wait, still to come on the program, breaking news out of the NFL. Tremendously sad news out of the NFL. If I'm being honest, as a kid that was born in Chicago, lived there very briefly, but I got a little bit of a soft spot, little one, for the Chicago Bears and for Soldier Field and for history and as nature intended, football outside in a nasty, yucky, ugly stadium with nasty, yucky weather. Chicago Bears look like they're officially moving. And this is not fake news. This is real news. Adam Schefter on the news that the Bears board of directors voted to advance the stadium development in Hammond, Indiana, with the exact date to be, exact site to be selected. This is the first time the Bears board has voted on any stadium site, and certainly more work to do in the process. It's not final. Maybe this is the world's biggest bluff to the city of Chicago, to Arlington Heights, to the powers that be that determine where the taxes go. The Chicago Bears look like they are trending towards becoming the Hammond, Indiana Bears. And I just did a very scientific research procedure experiment here in the break. And I looked up, where does the state of Indiana rank in population? Because they're about to have two NFL teams. They are the 17th most populous state. And they're about to have two NFL teams within their borders, perhaps. The Chicago Hammond, Indiana Bears and the, of course, Indianapolis Colts, which is very fine that they have the Colts. They deserve the Colts. Colts have been there for a pretty darn long time. But the Bears in Indiana does not feel right at all. Last call for the High Noon Showdown. This would be a first on the program. Nobody wants to beat up their neighbor and win a big prize pack. We can move on to your headlines and highlights. 605-362-3776 is that number to dial. We'll get to that Bears news, other NFL news, including a debate on which teams are most primed to go worst in a division to first in a division this coming season. Detroit certainly makes that list. We'll debate where they fit in. As let's go ahead and kibosh the High Noon Showdown for the first time in show history. Maybe next week, people, will hand out some Twins tickets later on in the show. NFL news, worst to first rankings, Major League Baseball talk, and the good, the bad, and the ugly are on the way. NBA basketball last night, coming up tonight, game two, Knicks and the Spurs, 7:30 on ABC. Here is Stephon Castle, who says, I feel like we are the better team this year.
I think Vic said it best. I don't think we have anything to be too worried about. I mean, obviously, we feel like we're the better team, and we didn't play well and still had a chance to win. So, I mean, yeah, if we take one thing from that, just just going back to being ourselves and, focusing on the right thing.
That's Stephon Castle ahead of game number two. Vince Goodwill, a key for San Antonio. Just keep a level head.
I'm not going to panic if I'm the Spurs. The Spurs aren't the Boston Celtics. The Spurs are definitely not the toothless Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, let's not go overboard here. They shot 25% from three in game one. They're not a great shooting team. If they aren't having an average shooting game, we're talking about a completely different ball game. They led by 15 in the third quarter. They led by one with 5 minutes left. I understand that they wound up going into the graveyard of Knicks opponents in this year's playoffs, but you can't overreact to just one game. If they were to panic, then I would say, you know what, this is a young and immature team that doesn't trust what they do, that they don't trust who they are. But I think they have a pretty good feel on who they are and their maturity. You don't beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in two games on the road, including a game seven, if you don't have a remarkable sense of poise, if you don't have a strong sense of self. So I'm not too worried. I think they should bounce back tonight.
That's Vince Goodwill calling a bounce back. Charles Barkley says the Knicks might end up sweeping the Spurs.
I don't see how the Spurs could beat the Knicks if the Knicks play well. I'm going to stick with my original pick, Knicks and six. But I will tell you this. If the Knicks win tonight, they're going to sweep the Spurs. Now, that's a big if. But if the Knicks win tonight, they're definitely going to sweep the Spurs.
So there you go, Charles Barkley. They're definitely going to sweep the Spurs if they get that 2-0 lead in the series. Brian Windhorst echoing the sentiment, saying, I'm not putting anything past this team in New York.
I understand why the Spurs remain confident, okay? They're 4-1 after losses in the playoffs. They lost game one of the Minnesota series here in San Antonio and came back to win. But when I hear the Spurs players basically say, it's not them, it's us, it takes me back to last year when the Knicks played the Celtics. And it takes me back to last round when the Cavs were saying, you know, analytically, we think we're ahead. The Knicks do this to teams. This is what the Knicks do. And look, last year when I was in Boston and I watched the Knicks get up 1-0, that's the vibe that I had. I was like, well, this, and this happened. I think the Celtics are still the better team. How many times do the Knicks have to do this to opponents before everybody recognizes this is just what they do? So I get it. The numbers say, the film says that the Spurs should bounce back from this, but I've been here before, and I'm going to respect what I've seen this Knicks team do.
And that's Brian Windhorst ahead of game two tonight, 7:30 on ABC. Spurs are a 6.5-point favorite in the game. Over to the world of hockey in the NHL Stanley Cup Final, game number two last night. Vegas looked like the better team until they weren't. A 2-0 lead in period three. They went down 3-2, tied it up 3-3, pushed it to overtime. But the Canes get the job done in a prophetic final call here from Sean McDonough.
These gentlemen would quiet all the critics wondering where they've been if they score the game winner in overtime. Gostis Bear. They score! Seth Jarvis quiets the critics and ignites the crowd.
There you go. Sean McDonough on the call. Vegas falling to Carolina in Raleigh in overtime 4-3. Seth Jarvis, the hero game-winning goal in the overtime period. But this game was not without its drama, was not without its tough looks as well. A puck to the mouth of McNabb of Vegas in the first period. A disallowed goal in period number three late. Here is Vegas head coach John Tortorella on that particular storyline late in the contest.
I saw a loose puck in front of Freddie. Our player stabbed it, didn't move the goalie, and it goes through him into the other side. I challenge it 10 out of 10 times.
There you go. John Tortorella talking about the challenge, which proved to be, I don't know, a little costly, but juice that was worth the squeeze in the eyes of many. That should have been a goal, but just like in any other sports, you got to whistle early. You got to whistle for something the ref sees that might be accurate, might not be. Play goes dead, and that goal disallowed. Still, Vegas managed to get to overtime. They fall in overtime to the Caniacs there in Raleigh as we're tied 1-1. Rod Brind'Amour, who is around and a hero of the last time the Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup. Here's the coach of the Canes now talking about the shot of life his team got last night.
It's very similar to what feels like the last series. Kind of almost playing out. It's uncanny. But you get a new kind of shot of life, you know, is what it feels like. And that's what we definitely needed. And I'm happy for the guys and proud of them because they did. They just kept coming, and that's what we have to do.
And that's Canes head coach Rod Brind'Amour. Moving on to the game three. That'll be Saturday night, Canes and Knights from Vegas, 7 o'clock on ABC. That's tied one game apiece. Vegas a marginal favorite there, minus 112 on the puck line as of this morning. Major League Baseball, Guardians lost to the Yankees yesterday 2-1. Milwaukee lost at home to San Francisco 12-9. And the Minnesota Twins took one on the chin, an 8-6 loss yesterday to Kansas City. Royals are not good. They're actually four games back of Minnesota in the division, 25-38. Minnesota with the loss yesterday slips to 29-35. Here's Twins manager Derek Shelton praising the offense, but the team in general needs some work.
Yeah, Cody had a big night, man. Good swings. I mean, we came right out of the rain delay. Carantini hit the homer. I mean, it was guys, we went right back. I mean, we have to be able to finish. We have to be able to finish games by making them put the ball in play.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. More from Shelty here just on the loss broadly.
Yeah, I mean, frustrating loss. I mean, we have six walks. We make errors. We cannot give away either extra bases with walks, and we definitely can't, you know, give away extra outs because it just changes the whole course of how the game goes.
There you go. Twins manager Derek Shelton. One other notable final yesterday, the Cubbies won at home against the A's 7-6. Chicago improves to 33-30. Cubbies are up to bat first among our area teams today. 1:20 start from Wrigley. They host the San Francisco Giants. Other matchups on the way on a Friday. White Sox at Phillies, Mariners at Tigers, Yankees home to the Red Sox, Reds at Cardinals, Guardians at Rangers, Brewers at the Rockies. Royals and Twins tussle again from Target Field, 7:15 the start time, 6:30 your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Your NASCAR race coming up this weekend is at Michigan Motor Speedway, Sunday, 2 o'clock coverage on both Prime Video and on HBO. And let's talk football, shall we? Chris Canty talking about the L.A. Rams, and he's going to go ahead and plant his flag as a doubter of everything coming together for a Super Bowl this year for the Rams.
They feel real 2011 Philadelphia Eagles-ish. The darling, everybody wants to pick them. They go out and they make all of these splashy moves. You know, that 2011 team, they had Asante Samuel and Nnamdi Asamoah as their corners. You know, this team, they traded for Trent McDuffie. They got Jalen Watkins as the other corner. I just go out and get Myles Garrett. You feel real 2011 Eagles-ish. I don't know, man. It's one thing to put together a great collection of talent. It's another thing for that talent to be a great team. If you gave me the choice, you know, are the Rams going to win a Super Bowl or are they going to miss the playoffs, I would lean toward the latter. I think they're more likely to miss the playoffs than win the Super Bowl.
I think that is just a horrific take from Chris Canty, because when you talk about that 2010 to 2011 Eagles team, you got to remember one thing. That was not an amazing football team on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl that they added and injected life into and said, oh, we're here. And they were dubbed, by the way, that dream team by their backup quarterback, Vince Young, who joined the team along, and this is just off the top of my head, along with Ronnie Brown at running back, Nnamdi Asamoah at cornerback, and a few others. That Eagles team was nothing compared to what this Rams team was last year. This Rams team was so darn close. They were better than Seattle in the regular season. They obviously were not better than them in the big moment of the postseason, but that's a different story. Seattle was head and shoulders better than most every team in the NFL last year, except for LA. They were right there. They were so close. What are the deficiencies on the roster? Cornerback. And they addressed that two times over this offseason. They also got better at pass rusher. Yes, they mortgaged some future, but they got better at pass rusher with going from Jared Verse to Myles Garrett. They might get Aaron Donald back. This is not some, oh, let's smash all these pieces together and hope that everything falls in line and it works. This is a damn good team that was on the cusp of winning it all last year that has gotten a lot better this offseason. To me, not the world's greatest take there from Chris Canty on those Rams. They are going to the big game. They are going to the Final Four. At minimum, it would be flabbergasting, blasphemy, to suggest they're not going to be in the postseason. That's a tough division, but the best team in that division is in Los Angeles. Now let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. A lot of haters coming out now. Must be Packer Hatred Week after the Micah Parsons news. Here's Jason McCourty talking about the Packer defense and quarterback Jordan Love.
for the Packers. You think about a year ago, they were 0-5 without Micah Parsons. Sack numbers, pressure numbers, all of those things drastically dropped when he wasn't in the lineup. So you fast forward throughout the course of this offseason. Because of the cap situation, they haven't been able to get better on the defensive side of the ball. Jordan Love and the offense, they know that. The defense has a new defensive coordinator in John Gannon as well. So the amount of pressure to be able to put points up, answer in a big moment, that all falls on the shoulders of Jordan Love and the rest of this offense. So it's a lot to ask. Micah Parsons, at best, you think about it, six games, maybe he comes back week six against the Cowboys. But then also, what version are you getting when he first steps back on the field to be able to make a huge impact to be contenders?
And there's some fair points in there, but you got to remember circumstantially what went on last year in that game against those Denver Broncos. Christian Watson went down. They had lost Zach Tom for the year. Devontae Wyatt was already out for the year. Tucker Kraft was already out for the year. A lot of those aforementioned names are going to be back. And yes, the Packers did say so long to Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks and a couple others, Rashid Walker, Kingsley Enagbare, Rashawn Gary. None of those dudes are, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How can we possibly replace that guy type of guys in Green Bay? The panic alarm is not off in Titletown, and frankly, it's going to hurt. It's going to sting that Micah's going to be out 4 weeks, maybe five, maybe 6 weeks to start the year. No doubt about it. But if you recall last year, it was the vanishing act of Rashawn Gary coupled with a zillion other things on the Packer defense that were wrong. They reinforced at cornerback this offseason. Still could address that position further. The offense has gotten better, more continuity. Josh Jacobs, of course, that situation is a concern. But Green Bay will be fine to start out the year. It's not ideal. You want Micah back as soon as possible, and you want real-life Micah, impact player Micah back, and I think you're very well-served to take your time in regards to Micah's recovery. Harry Douglas, more on the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love.
Hey, it's on the quarterback Jordan Love. It's on play caller Matt LaFleur. And I'm also going to challenge those pass catchers. When you look at Jaden Reed, you look at Christian Watson, and then also Matthew Golden and Tucker Kraft at the tight end position. Can those guys stay healthy enough to hold the fort down until Michael Parsons can get back? It's going to be extreme pressure already on that offensive unit. But without Michael Parsons, we know they struggle to sack the quarterback. I'm putting all that pressure on the offensive side of the football. Can you hold it down? Can you be better than third down on third down than you were a year ago? And they were damn good. Can you pass the football effectively? Can you be better in the red zone? You're going to have to make all these plays because of what you don't have on the defensive side of the football.
And that's Harry Douglas, Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. Moving forward, tennis, French Open continuing. Women's final is set for tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. True TV, TNT, and HBO Max. Coverage begins at 8 o'clock for Maya Swalinska against 8-seeded Mira Andreeva. And on the men's side, semifinal, Alexander Zverev advances beyond Jacob Mensik. And later on, underway right now, just getting going, it's an all-Italian semifinal. Matteo Arnaldi, unranked against 10th-rated Flavio Caboli right now on TNT, True TV, and HBO Max. So an opportunity for one of those gentlemen to move forward and take on Alexander Zverev in the final on the men's side, which will be played on Sunday morning. D1 softball yesterday, Texas, your back-to-back national champions in the sport of softball, 4-1 win over Texas Tech. And this weekend, underway right now, Super Regional round of men's D1 baseball. Your 16 teams remaining, matchups included West Virginia and Cal Poly, Troy and Little Rock, North Carolina facing USC, Auburn tussling with Ole Miss, Kansas meeting Oklahoma, Alabama against St. John's, Texas facing Oregon, and Georgia has got Mississippi State on the schedule. Coming up this weekend, full coverage, and a look at that bracket, NCAA.com. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Hour number two, USD Athletics has picked up the 2025-2026 Interstate Series victory by the score of 11.5 to 8.5 over rival South Dakota State. The victory is the sixth victory for the Yotes since the series began back in 2012-2013, and it is the first Yote victory in the series since 2021-2022. USD picked up points in football, men's basketball, men's and women's swimming and diving, indoor track and field on the men's side, women's basketball, men's golf, women's outdoor track and field, and women's soccer. Full recap of those standings and the victory for the Yotes to our south over the Jacks to our north at GoYotes.com. Other news to get to, Minnesota Wild forward Marcus Foligno has received this season's King Clancy Memorial Trophy for leadership and service. Foligno recently presented the trophy in a ceremony with his older brother and current teammate Nick Foligno, who also won the award back in 2017. The NHL will donate $25,000 to the Janice Foligno Foundation as part of the award to Foligno, who last month finished year number 15 in the NHL. More on that at ESPN.com. Foligno, the third winner in Minnesota Wild history, joining Matt Dumba in 2020 and Jason Zucker back in 2019. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. As always, for a better local banking option, check them out online or in person in the 605, ReliaBank.com. In lieu of the high noon showdown, since everybody's scared to be mean and beat up your neighbor this week, I do have some Twins tickets over the weekend. If you or yours might be interested, dial me up over the break. I'll tell you what I've got and see if it matches your needs and schedule over the weekend. 605-362-3776. Twins tickets Saturday or Sunday. Let me know. 605-362-3776. When we come back, the latest news from the NFL. The Chicago Bears are still going to be called the Chicago Bears, but it looks like, in a massive womp-womp, that they're moving to Hammond, Indiana. Looks like. We'll see if this is a giant bluff card pulled by the Bears organization, but there is a big article out that the Bears reportedly on the move. That and more coming up next on a Friday edition of Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Friday, June 5th edition of Overtime. A reminder, still got some Twins tickets to give away this weekend. So if you would like to head up to Target Field Saturday or Sunday, give me a call during the next break. I'll tease before the break. Opportunity to grab some tickets on me, get in some Twins baseball, hopefully some wins against those Kansas City Royals that are near the bottom of the division. Minnesota sitting in third place right now. That number to dial always to contest with us, to win with us, and to weigh in on the show as well. 605-362-3776. Before we talk about the soon-to-be Hammond, Indiana-based Chicago Bears, I want to talk about the Minnesota Vikings and a funny moment, a Freudian slip, if you will, from Coach Kevin O'Connell. Got to listen carefully to this clip, but here's KOC talking yesterday about how receptive J.J. McCarthy has been to adding a veteran quarterback to the room.
Yeah, you know, I think he's handled it really well. You know, he's been great in the meeting rooms. I'm spending a little bit more time with those guys and just the dialogue between the group. Obviously, the great questions you get from those guys as we're going through the installation process. And, you know, we have really guys that are all at different stages of not only their career, but their understanding and application of our offense. So there's many times where Kyler may have a question that, you know, mirrored a question that JJ had during his, you know, year on the grass last year and playing. And there's dialogue that comes. There's been tweaks to the offense that we've made off of some of those conversations and dialogue, but he's been great in the meeting room. He's been great on the grass, and as always, he's as a captain and a guy that helps lead our team. He's been phenomenal there as well.
Did you catch it there towards the end of the clip? Because that's what Viking territory, Viking country is freaking out about today in regards to a Freudian slip and maybe a little bit of showing of your hand about how you feel about the quarterback situation. Yes, this is peak offseason content. I know it. I'm teasing you, Viking fans. But one more time from Kevin O'Connell, a big former slipped in.
On the grass, and as always, he's, as a captain and a guy that...
Interesting stuff. I'm not freaking out about it. It's funny to me, but Viking fans will look for anything and everything to maybe get riled up about at their quarterback spot. Kyler Murray's the favorite. That's fine. J.J. McCarthy hopefully going to work and compete his butt off for you to prove that he can be the long-term quarterback of those Minnesota Vikings. But is interesting, is a little rich there, and something that is in the news, in the heads of Viking fans today, a former, as a captain instead of a guy who represented us well as a captain last year, or just don't mention it at all. But Coach Kevin O'Connell as a former, captain of this team for J.J. McCarthy. Now, enough teasing of the Vikings. Let's tease those Bears. They're no longer the Chicago Bears. At least that's what it looks like and smells like and feels like today. Really sad news, honestly. The Bears have taken another significant step toward leaving Illinois as of this morning. The Bears' board of directors voted yesterday to advance their stadium development in Hammond, Indiana, with the exact site still to be determined, according to ESPN.com in an article penned by Courtney Cronin. This is the first time that the Bears board has voted on any stadium site. The Bears plans to leave the state they've called home since their inception for Indiana comes just days after the end of Illinois' spring legislative session. Here's what the Bears had to say, Chairman George H. McCaskey and CEO Kevin Warren in a statement. We believe a world-class stadium project in Hammond will transform the region, connecting Northwest Indiana and the South Side of Chicago through the Loop and across the neighborhoods and suburbs stretching north of the city. Bears Chairman George H. McCaskey and CEO Kevin Warren said in a statement, the Bears announcement Friday does not guarantee that the team will move to Illinois or move from Illinois. Per a league source, while Indiana is in the lead, quote, in the lead, to lure the Bears across state lines, Illinois can still get back in the race, which, yes, we're teasing, we're talking. It feels like a conclusion, but it's really kind of a starting line of this bluffing process. And hopefully, and again, this is politics. This is why should we, the people, have to pay for a billionaire to finance a stadium in this city? And he rakes money in hand over fist every single Sunday and any special event they have, concert, etc., at this particular venue. It's all fair questions. It's all up for debate. But call me a purist. Call me whatever you want. The Bears need to be in Chicago. Like the Knicks need to be in New York. Like the Giants and Jets should be in New York. Like the Minnesota Vikings should reside in the state of Minnesota. To me, it just feels wrong. And I understand there's so many things that goes through this. But to put the Chicago Bears, which you can debate where their biggest support system is in Chicago, Northsiders, Southsiders, those right there on the map, right there off 42, I believe it is, right up Lakeshore Drive. It's up for debate where their biggest pocket of support is, but this feels a little misguided. Arlington Heights made a lot of sense. They already own the property up there. It's just interesting to me. The tax environment is probably one of the bigger issues here, and make no mistake about it. I'm not calling this a bad business decision because likely this is probably the best business decision. Tax friendly. Somebody laying out the red carpet and saying, welcome, plug your nose, but welcome to Hammond, Indiana. This is beautiful. Look at this future site. Look at this beautiful parking lot. Look at all this great stuff around here and there and everywhere. We'll pay you to come here. We'll pay your rent for you. Whatever the tax terms are, it feels like it's a comfier bed to lay in Hammond, Indiana. Now, that being said, does it tug on your heartstrings? Does it hurt your feelings as a Bear fan? Absolutely. As a Bear semi-hater, it hurts my feelings. I want the Bears to be in Chicago. I want Chicago fans to have a front row seat for my team beating them in Chicago in big moments. But now we're going to have Hammond, Indiana. It'll be the same old Bears, I'm sure. They'll be looking for a Super Bowl 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the future, looking for a second Super Bowl. But just doesn't feel right, doesn't sit right with me, the Hammond, Indiana Bears. Not final, big bluff card out there on the table for the McCaskey family and for CEO Kevin Warren, who is proven to be a very sharky guy in a good way as a businessman, as a negotiator, as the Big Ten commissioner, etc. Kevin Warren's been that dude, made a lot of big, concrete, crazy decisions and backed it up. We'll see if he can keep the Bears in Chicago with a massive bluff card or if this ends up being, after all, the long-term plan in Chicago. Not so sure as of yet. And for those of you panicking, a couple coworkers here were running around the hallway saying, it's over, it's over. Not yet over for the Chicago Bears, but a trending in the lead, according to the article at ESPN.com for Hammond, Indiana. Other news to get to, really bad news for the Detroit Lions. For yesterday, their rookie wide receiver, Kendrick Law, going to miss his entire rookie season, suffered a torn ACL during Tuesday OTAs in a non-contact drill. Law was selected in round number 5 of the NFL draft this year out of Kentucky after the Lions traded up to land him at pick number 168. Dan Campbell saying it's part of it, harsh reality, but he'll get out of the way early, have his whole career in front of him. Hate to start out with that. That's a bit of a negative, but everybody else is doing well. Everybody else is improving. Law will miss his entire rookie season with the Detroit Lions. The Denver Broncos, speaking of wide receiver, they have a very new, very shiny toy in their receiver core by the name of Jalen Waddle. Head coach Sean Payton, according to Pro Football Talk, speaking out about Waddle's addition, mentality, and sponge nature in regards to the offense. He's had a good week. He's somebody who picks things up really quick, had a good day on Wednesday, and you can feel his instincts, his quickness and ability to really not only run fast, but stop fast. He's doing well. Broncos gave up a first-round pick and a third-rounder. Steep price for Jalen Waddle, who, frankly, never really met his expectations in Miami. Had a nice, really great start to his career. And just like the Dolphins did over the last couple of years, just kind of fizzled and sputtered over the last few seasons with some health concerns injected into that. Jalen Waddle, now a member of the Denver Broncos. Well, the good news you need from the Chicago Bears is on the football field and on the payroll. The Bears are getting their top two draft picks under contract. Safety Dylan Thiemann and center Logan Jones have both agreed to terms on their rookie deals. Thiemann, the number 25 overall pick of this year's draft, selected out of Oregon by way of Purdue. And Jones, the number 57 overall pick this year, played his college football at Iowa, a Remington Trophy winner just last year, as the best center in college football. Moving forward with NFL news, this is pretty surprising, I'd say, but maybe not circumstantially because they haven't made a lot of noise in the postseason with him at quarterback. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and quarterback Baker Mayfield are entering a final year of a pact together. He has reestablished himself as a starting quarterback, having played in every game for the Bucs over the last 3 years. But what about the future? All fair questions from Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Mayfield told reporters today that negotiations with the Bucs are ongoing, but they aren't necessarily going like he'd like them to. Here's what Baker had to say. First and foremost, we've built roots here in Tampa. We love the community. We love being here. They've embraced us. We enjoy being here and obviously are going to raise our kids here. But the contract stuff, it's happening, it's starting, talks and whatnot, but no, not anywhere close to what we were thinking. So we'd love to be here long term, but as of right now, that's not exactly the case, but I'm under contract for 2026. Not the world's greatest commentary from Baker Mayfield up on the big screen ESPN TV right now. He's a really good quarterback. Has he entered the elite category at all, the elite subset at all in any point of his career? No. But Baker, pretty darn steady Eddie, a top flight-ish, top 15, right around there. Baker Mayfield for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No long-term deal just yet. No long-term deal either for George Pickens, the Cowboys wide receiver. Cowboys coach Brian Schottenheimer said he expects the Pro Bowler to be at the team's mandatory minicamp that'll run June 16th through the 18th. I expect he'll be here. I think he's in a good spot, but again, I know he's handling his business. I know he misses his teammates, and we miss him too. You know how we feel about him. We love him, just part of this business. And that we love him is very interesting from Schottenheimer. I'm sure they do, but they don't love him enough to wrap him up long term, give him a few extra $1 million and a few other years on his contract. 1 year, $27.3 million deal on the franchise tag for Pickens, and the team has an opportunity to tag him again next offseason if they so choose. Lastly, Myles Garrett has reworked a deal with the LA Rams. The reigning defensive player of the year has agreed to a reworked contract with his new team. Reworked deal includes an increase in total compensation for this year, which was previously $31.5 million. The new reported total comp is $37 million this year. And while Garrett's compensation increased this year, Source told ESPN that the total value of the contract has not increased. So this is a cap gymnastics exercise for Myles Garrett, moving some money from here to there and everywhere. $37 million this year, and the total value of the contract unchanged, according to ESPN.com. That's the latest and greatest from the National Football League. Before we move on, though, we got to the big news. The Hammond, Indiana Bears are trending into likely territory, not concrete. Maybe the old concrete truck is spinning and in the driveway, not yet pouring the Hammond, Indiana foundation just yet for Chicago, but things are trending that way as the Bears have voted to begin development in Hammond, Indiana. But let's talk about worst to first. This happens most every year in the National Football League that a team that finished worst in their division goes and finishes first in the division the year prior. ESPN.com's got a great article right now highlighting the teams that are most likely and least likely to do it. No surprise, the least likely team, Arizona Cardinals, followed by the Cleveland Browns, followed by the New York Jets, and then the Las Vegas Raiders. Safe to say, none of those four teams are going worst to first. Very extraordinarily unlikely, not necessarily hating on those organizations. Some of them, sure. Not all of them, but it's more about their division, the teams that are just miles and miles ahead of them, and maybe not even one or two, maybe three. In the case of the Cardinals, you got the Seahawks, your defending champions. The Rams should be the champions this year. And then, of course, you got the Niners, who are always in that conversation. The Cardinals are not going to go from worst to first. They rank eighth in the article. Now, the Tennessee Titans have a small window of opportunity. If Cam Ward proves to be that guy, that dude, goes to war right away and is an amazing young quarterback this year, you never know. That's a big improved roster in Tennessee. They rank fourth in the article. That feels about right. Giants are third. For those of you listening this offseason, you know I'm high on things that are cooking for the New York Giants. They got a good core. Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo. Others, not going to say Malik Nabers, because we don't know if he's back this year. We do not know that at all. Another knee procedure, it just feels a little shaky and tentative, especially when you go out and sign not one veteran receiver that's over the hill that probably won't play much, not two veteran receiver that's over the hill that probably won't play much, but three of them this week for the New York Giants. Not a really good sign about how you're feeling about Malik Nabers or the wide receiver room as a whole. They get a deal done with Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham Jr., and Braxton Berrios. Berrios likely to take over for Gunnar Olszewski as kick returner, punt returner, etc. But regardless, Giants not likely to go worst to first. They have the third best odds in this article, according to ESPN.com. And then you get the two that make a ton of sense. First one is the New Orleans Saints, and this has a lot to say about Kellen Moore, the young team, the inspired nature of their finish last year, and more so than any of those factors, that division is not great. Carolina made the postseason last year, came down to tiebreakers galore in week 18. They're not an amazing football team. Tampa is underachieving every year. Just said so long to Mike Evans, and Todd Bowles is on the hot seat like he is virtually every season. And then, of course, you mix in Saints and Falcons. It's really anybody's game there. So New Orleans certainly could go worst to first. They were the worst team in the division at 6-11, not too far away from a division title last year. And then the number one team, this does not mean it's gonna happen, just based on odds and overall thought process here, is the Lions. They somehow finished dead last in the NFC North. Today, it's hard to say exactly where the Lions are in terms of talent level and outlook, because these four teams in the NFC North are stretched super thin. I got a lot of respect. You may not tell it on the show. I got a lot of respect for the Vikings roster this year. That being said, a lot has to go right for them to win the division. Packers are going to be dinged and dented to start it out, but I like their team. I like the fact that they have game-breaking talent on both sides of the football, some of which might miss some time for injury, some of which might miss some time for suspension. We'll wait and see. Like Green Bay, Chicago has that young newness factor, but can they sustain? We see these flash-in-the-pan teams all the time in the NFL. Can they sustain it? We'll see. And then you get Detroit, the tried, true, absolutely identity-based team in the Motor City. They haven't lost a ton. I think they've got a good shot at going from worst to first without even shaking up too much of that division in the NFC North. That article up right now at ESPN.com. Lions reportedly the most likely team to go from worst in the division to first in the division in 2026. That's the latest from the National Football League. When we come back, let's talk baseball. Your latest injury updates, return from injury updates, power rankings, etc. And then we'll finish up the show with a beefy version of the good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Lewis Drug and your local Lewis Lawn and Garden Center. That's next on a Friday, June 5th edition of Overtime. Quick call for callers. Twins tickets, Saturday, Sunday. If you're in, if you're interested, let me know. Give me a call, 605-362-3776. I got some tickets remaining. Dial me up. I'll let you know what I got and see if it might match your schedule over the weekend. 605-362-3776. You want to see the Twins and the Royals at Target Field Saturday or Sunday? Just dial me up, 605-362-3776.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a day and week of the show. Friday, June 5th edition of Overtime. Friday Parlay posted up right now on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. Give us a follow, enter, and you could win Twins tickets and more, courtesy of ESPN Sioux Falls with the Friday Parlay. Let's talk baseball. I haven't spent a lot of time on the sport lately because of where we are in the NBA season, the NHL season, and of course, the NFL always has big news. The Minnesota Twins are certainly not crazy newsworthy at this stage, but they're about right where we thought they'd be, maybe a little bit better, if we're being honest. Third place in the division right now, and after yesterday's loss to Kansas City, Minnesota sits 6 games under 500 with a record of 29-35. Before we update you on the standings and the latest odds, divisional and World Series odds here in a moment, let's talk about the storylines that are making their way through Major League Baseball. We talk Twins first. Right-hander Bailey Ober says he believes an elbow injury that currently has him on the 15-day IL is the result of the baseballs used in his recent start against the Red Sox in Boston. That game, a win for the Twins, was played in a steady rain that turned the Fenway Park infield into mush and left Boston starter Sonny Gray calling the conditions, quote, absolutely brutal. Ober told the Minneapolis Star Tribune that the baseballs used that day were the worst rubbed baseballs he's seen in his 6 big league seasons, leading to grip issues throughout his 5 innings of work. And here's what Ober had to say. Pretty darn honest stuff. The only way to be able to throw slick baseballs is to grip them harder so you can execute your pitches. If not, you're never going to know where the ball's going, especially with breaking pitches. So Ober heading to the injured list for 15 days, talking about the slick baseballs recently in that start May 24th against the Red Sox. Bad news for the Brewers in a loss to the Giants. Relievers D.L. Hall and Grant Anderson both left with injuries during the team's 12-9 loss to San Francisco yesterday. Hall looked toward the dugout and bent forward in apparent discomfort after throwing a pitch in the 5th inning. Anderson took over for Hall, and he got hit in the right forearm by a liner from Bryce Eldridge in the 7th. Brewers manager Pat Murphy told reporters after the game Hall was undergoing an MRI and that the left-hander's subscapular and pectoral muscles were hurting. That's in that chest and the other side over the shoulder. And Murphy said that Anderson had a forearm bruise. And lastly, the really bad news for the New York Yankees. They're always on the short list of drama, but also short list of odds every single year lately to win the World Series. And they are going to get a little ding and a dent here as outfielder Aaron Judge has been diagnosed with a stress fracture of the first rib on his right side and is expected to return this year, but we're not sure just when. The 3-time American League MVP missed 3 straight games as he underwent various tests this week to pinpoint the reason for discomfort that had hampered him for an extended period. Initially, we were calling it a contusion, and now we know stress fracture in the ribs for Aaron Judge. He'll miss significant time. Yankee said he will be re-imaged in approximately 4 to 6 weeks to determine his level of healing and the next steps, but the club had feared worse. The outfielder underwent an MRI, CT scan, and x-rays and was evaluated by multiple doctors, including Dr. Gregory Pearl, who specializes in thoracic outlet syndrome management in Dallas. 34-year-old going to miss significant time. Quick look at the odds in Major League Baseball. Close to home, the AL Central. Negative territory for the Guardians. They're out ahead of the field, minus 265. The White Sox have the second best odds. Minnesota just won a series against Chicago in Minneapolis, White Sox are plus 500, Twins plus 1100, Tigers plus 1500, Royals plus 1700. That's the latest divisional odds in Major League Baseball. And then on to the World Series. The Dodgers are still paying out double your money. You put $100 down, you come away with $300. So you get $200 additional dollars, $300 total for you out there with math skills. Dodgers plus 200. They're your favorite. Yankees still second despite the injury news, plus 550. Mariners, Braves, Brewers in the top five. Phillies, Cubs, Blue Jays, Rays, Rangers in the top 10. And worth noting, the Guardians, the presumptive leader in the AL Central, the leader right now at 11th in overall odds as of today. Quick look at the divisions and who's atop them before we move on to the good, the bad, and the ugly in a hurry. Tampa Bay is leading by a half game over the Yankees in the AL East. Guardians, two games better than the White Sox in the Central. Mariners, two and a half games up on the A's and Rangers in the American League West. In the National League, Braves have a big stiff arm of space in between themselves and the Phillies. That stands at 8.5 games. Brewers over the Pirates in the Central, 4.5 the margin there. Cubbies are in fourth place in that division right now after dominating that division early on in the season. And then lastly, as predicted, Dodgers on top in the West, 6.5 games of space between the Diamondbacks and 7 games better than the San Diego Padres. Time now to wrap up the day and the week of the show. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly on Overtime.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's always a great day to be dreaming of the thrill of the grill. Lewis Drug, Lewis Lawn and Garden can help out this week. The Weber Spirit EP325 on sale for just $449.97. That's a savings of nearly $200. Nobody beats the price on that new grill. Weber Spirit EP325 LP Grass Grill. Check it out at your local Lewis Drug. Well, good news first. Tegan Cavan struck out 5 in the final 2 innings to back a strong start from Citlali Gutierrez, and Caden Henry homered to lead Texas to a 4-1 win over Texas Tech Thursday night at the Women's College World Series. That is a second straight national championship for the Longhorns. Other good news, other big news, the Hokies are rolling in dough. They've received a historic $75 million donation at Virginia Tech, with the majority directed toward athletics. School announced yesterday the record donation, made anonymously by a 4-generation Virginia Tech family, is set to go toward multiple initiatives, including the fundraising portion of the recently approved $229 million investment in athletics over the next 4 years. Well, not always pretty, but Caitlin Clark found a way. Just about the only thing that went wrong for the Fever on Thursday night was Caitlin Clark vomiting at halftime. Bouncing back from a 2-game losing streak, the Fever had their best defensive performance of the season in an 83-71 win over the Dream. Clark turned the hallway corner for her post-game media session with a white towel draped over her shoulders as she held it across her mouth. The Fever star voice sounded gravelly as she told reporters she was a little ill at halftime. That, however, didn't stop her from playing and finishing with 17 points. Here's Caitlin Clark saying, "I haven't puked that much in a really long time, but then I felt fine. I felt light. So I was running around feeling good in the second half, but I feel okay. Obviously, losing my voice a little bit, but I will be good." And lastly here, bad and ugly news. Anytime the fans get involved, it's bad and ugly. The NBA is investigating an interaction between a Knicks star, Jalen Brunson, and courtside fans in the fourth quarter of game 1 of the NBA Finals. Brunson appeared to be upset with some courtside fans while teammate OG Anunoby was taking a pair of free throws with 29.4 seconds to go on Wednesday night. The NBA going to investigate that. And the fan that ran onto the floor at Frost Bank Center Court during the fourth quarter of Wednesday night's NBA Finals and attempted to take a selfie with Spurs star Victor Wembanyama was arrested and given a lifetime ban from all NBA arenas. Hope it was worth it. No way it was. Bad, ugly news there. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show on a Friday. Join us on Monday for more from the sports world after a nice, warm, fuzzy weekend ahead. Hope everybody has a great one. Twins tickets still up for grabs. Anybody interested? 605-362-3776. Saturday or Sunday, let me know. 605-362-3776. We will talk to you Monday when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.